I suspect that I am correct in my assumption that when you read the Bible, Leviticus is not your go-to book. Anybody choose Leviticus first? Yeah, probably not. In fact, for those who have decided to read the Bible and who have started at Genesis, it is often the book of Leviticus that slows us down or brings those efforts to a stop. After all, Genesis is filled with narratives, with stories full of action and adventure, romance and conflict, hope and disappointment, characters to whom we can relate and those we love to hate. Genesis gives us those foundational stories, the ones that set up the rest of the action in the Judeo-Christian tradition. And then comes Exodus. And again, we get narrative texts of action and adventure with enemies and people on the run, with a strong leader and people who vacillate between wanting to follow and just wanting to give up. We get to watch as the people of Israel learn how to be in unique relationship with Yahweh. And then comes Leviticus. Leviticus, whose introduction in the New Interpreter's Bible reads this way: few books of the Bible challenge modern readers like Leviticus. In fact, even the most venturesome individuals who aspire to read through the whole Bible usually run out of enthusiasm as they begin to read this third book of the Bible. So see, if you have had that experience, you are in good company. Yet Walter C. Kaiser Jr., the author of that introduction, goes on and writes, "However, such initial discouragement may be mitigated when we realize that Leviticus discloses the character of God in important ways." And so, at least occasionally, it seems we should spend some time with Leviticus. Before we get to today's verses, I want us to talk for a minute about the contents and purpose of this book, to set it in context. Leviticus contains two major sections. Chapters 1 through 16 are understood to be instructions for the priests. So they're focused on officiating and purifying, on leading worship in faithful ways that reflect God's holiness. Then, chapters 17 through 27, which we often call the Holiness Code, these are directed not only at the priests, but at all the people. They give instructions on living as a particular people of God in community, and they cover a great number of topics. And all of these instructions are set within the context of a few assumptions. First, the people of Israel have a particular relationship with one particular God and are to live in ways that are different from the people around them who worship other and often many gods. Also, it is assumed that being in relationship with God changes people. It makes them different. In fact, there is that refrain throughout the book, "Be holy as God is holy." Thirdly, it is assumed that while the people have a particular relationship with God, it is not for themselves alone, but they are meant to be a light to all nations, and they have a responsibility to the people and the world around them. It is in this context that we hear those verses that Steve read for us. And I want us to hear them again. "The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Speak to all the congregation of the people of Israel, and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. You shall not strip your vineyard bare or gather the fallen grapes of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and the alien. I am the Lord your God. You shall not hate in your heart any one of your kin. You shall reprove your neighbor, or you will incur guilt yourself. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against any of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. When an alien resides with you in your land, you shall not oppress the alien. The alien who resides with you shall be to you as the citizen among you. You shall love the alien as yourself, for you were aliens in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. These verses that we read today are among the verses that focus on relationships with neighbors and strangers. In the case of Israel, with those who are part of the Jewish family and those who are not, but who live among them. And in both cases, care is to be shown. In both cases, how we treat those around us is an issue of faith. It is not only about our actions, but did you hear that refrain? It is about the holiness of our God. And so, we hear a great responsibility to take care of the known poor and even the unknown or unfamiliar among us. And friends, this is a difficult text for us. It is generally difficult because the reality is that even though we like to be understood as generous, even though we take pride in being those who share and care for others, we really like to do it on our own terms. We don't like to be told exactly how or how much or to whom we should give. We like to choose when we share and with whom and what it is we give. We like to decide if someone is worth our gift. We like to evaluate if a certain situation is one in which we want to share. But here sit the words of Leviticus, which simply say, leave some of what you have for whoever needs it. Really, for whoever would come and take it. And then added to that, these words tell us not to worry about if we recognize the people, if they look like us, if they have the appropriate documentation, but that anyone who is among us is one of us, no matter whether we know them or like them or want them there. And this is difficult stuff. It is particularly difficult if we are willing to name the reality of our culture, which is that in so many ways we have relegated decisions about the poor and those our translation calls alien, but who we might instead call immigrant, either documented or not. We have left those decisions largely to our elected officials. We have not only left them to be responsible for taking care of or not taking care of these people, but we have often allowed ourselves to be convinced that these are political conversations. And for many of us, we've decided they have no place in the church. And yet, Leviticus remains in the Bible. Jesus, who so much more frequently than we want to admit, held his public officials responsible, and got involved in the politics of his day, remains in the Bible, our central figure in Christianity. Friends, while we may live in a system where borders of countries are negotiated by leaders or all too often by war, where legislation sets up structures by which people can be called citizens or can receive certain assistance, our scripture reminds us time and time again that we have responsibility toward other people. It reminds us time and time again that regardless of borders and laws, regardless of citizenship and qualifications, people are people, and people are valued children of God. And when that is the case, we have responsibility toward them. Friends, we live with a foot in each of two worlds. We live as people of faith, and we live as citizens of a particular country. And like it or not, sometimes these identities conflict. But if we listen to Scripture, our first allegiance is to God. Now, Leviticus, it wasn't written as legislation for the United States of America in the year 2019. But it is the witness of the relationship between God and humanity. It is the witness of those who are within the Judeo-Christian tradition and find themselves understanding that their relationship with God asks something of them and shapes who they are. It is the witness of those who understand that people are people, and that we who have enough have a responsibility toward those who are struggling. And it is the witness of the people of God who understand that poverty and immigration are not first and foremost political issues, but are human ones. And so, these verses from Leviticus, they ask us to engage in difficult conversation. They ask us to ask hard questions about how we treat people. They ask us to ask hard questions about how we other people. They ask us to ask hard questions about when our decisions are more about preserving things for ourselves than about sharing compassion with the other. They ask us to ask hard questions about our priorities. And they ask us to be willing to be honest about the times when we would rather wear our political lenses than our faith ones. The times when we would rather choose our identity, our citizenship in this world, than our identity as God's people. These verses also ask us to remember our own faith story, to remember the times in that faith story, not least of all, as is mentioned right in the verses we read, the time when the story of the people of Israel meant they settled in Egypt as aliens because of famine. And in our Christian story, the time when Jesus and his family sought out safety in Egypt because their lives were threatened by their own king. We are asked to remember these times in the Judeo-Christian tradition when we have been the foreigners in need of care. Friends, if we are willing to allow our faith lenses to be our primary lenses, then we have to be willing to first see the humanity of the other and to first hear the command to share what we have, to not only share grudgingly or if someone is absolutely desperate, but to set aside part of what we have all the time for those in need. Leviticus tells us something about God and about who God calls us to be. We are called to be those who see with compassion all of God's children and who respond not occasionally, but as a way of life to the needs of the poor, the immigrant, the least of God's children. May it be so.